Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Come and ask your questions, share your concerns. Experiencing Life on 657 AM.
And we gave you the sounds of King D Music. Jesus is the title of the song that we gave to you. The time now is exactly 4 minutes, just after 10. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Yeah, on 657 AM. And do remember, you can tune in and listen to us live online on Radio Pulpit 657 AM online. You can also tune in to Radio Pulpit Jikelele and Radio Kansel Hartklank. You can also tune into I Am Youth Web Radio. We are alive and kicking on all those platforms. Make sure that you tune in and you listen to us wherever you at. There's no longer an excuse to say, I can't listen. Bona, you can, wherever you at. As long as you have a device with you, you can log on and listen to us. I am so blessed at this current moment in time, in the morning time, because I normally spoke to him during the day. But today, as I said, things are different. He is right here with me. Okay, he's on the line. But in the morning time, and that is Pastor Lucas Nkosi Muruti. How are you and welcome?
Hey, Sis Bongi and Radio Pulpit family.
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well. And you?
I'm awesomely blessed that today we are able to get you in the morning. Because your schedule, Muruti. Your schedule. So to know that today you are available in the morning time, we praise the Lord for that. And I know that every time you come in the morning, there's no way. Law has got to be part of it. The law is somewhere there.
The harvest split. Liberous a few. We need to get to the field and make sure that, you know, we become the salt and light that the Lord has called us to be.
That is like really awesome, Muruti. And so today we're talking the purpose, God's purpose for government. And we are looking into that. I'm like, we fail sometimes to even look at that, especially you listen to how we speak during the times when we have to go to the polls and vote and all that. We forget that God has got a purpose about government. We forget even that the very same people that will be voted in, God is also involved in that. God is there as well. He's not somewhere, you know, and he's like puzzled, Lucas is part of the government.
Very true.
Why is it important for us to know God's purpose for government?
Yeah, it's very much important, Sispongile, and we thank you once more with Radio Pulpit to afford us this time to share, you know, from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the standard for our lives, and it's our rule book we need to follow. And sometimes, you know, with some topics, especially those that are government related or things that to do with our involvement as the church in community matters, whether be it economic, political, and other spheres, you know, of influence, we feel as if, no, that is something else for unbelievers to deal with. Rena, our business is just Sundays, and then attending church or midweek services, and that's the end of the story. But now, something that is interesting from the Word of God is that, you know, whatever systems that we have today, they have their origins, you know, from the Bible. People who founded these institutions, they copied, you know, most of what we see today from the Bible. Even this thing of, you know, three levels of government, it has been developed from the book of Isaiah 33 verse 22 there, you know, to set up those systems, the system of how we do things in the courts. you know, even this chaplaincy idea is there in the Bible. These are concepts that were derived from the Bible, and then they were developed with years. Now the trace of Bible was removed from them, and they sounded like, you know, hey, this is genius. Hey, the world is more wise. Not knowing that this is just a copy and paste, you know, from the Bible. They've learned those principles, applying them, refined them with time, and, you know, and afterwards they look like, the church had nothing to do with this. Listen to people talking about governments and so that, hey, where's the church? Where was the church? Mm-hmm. What is happening? The church has always been there. Even most of liberation movements were started by people who believed in the Bible. Your universities that we respect today, like your Harvard, your exports, I mean your Oxford, rather, the Cambridges, people who believed in the Bible established these things. Even these issues of nursing, trade unions. So it's very much important. And then now that today we should learn something to do with government. You know, we normally pray to see, but by grace, then let's pray for the government. But how do we pray for something that we
that
don't
understand?
That
we do not understand its purpose.
And we don't. And we don't understand why God established it in the first place, like you are saying, you know, its purpose. Why is it there in the first place? What purpose must it serve? And even those who have a calling, you know, into the space of serving in that space, they need to understand what is happening so that they are aligned to God's purpose for that. And then mainly we learn from the book of Romans 13, you know, where it says, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So we know from there that authority comes from God. And it says the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So the institution of governance and authorities exists. The reason we have governments is because they are there. The institution is there by God's appointment. And but if we don't understand why God appointed it, it's there in the scriptures. And it gives us a warning first that if we resist the authority, we resist the ordinance of God. And if we resist what God has ordained, judgment comes our way. And then it tells us the why, that rulers are not a terror to good works. So we know government is not there to intimidate people who do good works. Even if a government, you know, can terrorize people who do good works, then we know that now that particular government overreaches its scope, because God did not set the government, you know, to be a terror to people who do good works, but to those who do evil. So God has sent said government to deal with evil people. And it says, do you want to be unafraid of authority or government? Do what is good and you'll have praise from the same. Meaning government is there to praise the people, to encourage good to prevail, but to deal with people who do bad. And here's another interesting one.
Okay.
In the verse 4, where it says, for he is God's minister to you. God's minister.
The government is God's minister.
Then God's minister for what? For good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister. For what reason? An avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. God has put government in place so that government deals with people who do evil. This is God's purpose and intention about government. Then other things we learn, you know, that there are things like your taxation system, you know, the issue of honor, that the scripture. But in verse number 4, we are given clarity that God established this for the purpose of making sure that government keeps evil. Because it's very much important that evil doers be restrained. because once you don't restrain, you know, evil doers, they create a problem. You know, in communities, they create the problem in the land. And, you know, we will live in a space of disorder where now even good people suffer because nobody is helping them.
There's lawlessness.
There's lawlessness.
Is it just like the times, just like the times of, what's his name again? The nephew to Abraham?
Yeah,
Lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the times of the judges, you know, where it says, you know, when there was no king in Israel, everybody did as they pleased, however they saw it right to do. And that state of lawlessness, the state of anarchy, you know, where there's no control, you know, to stop people, to restrain people's hands on the evil that is happening. So it will be a place of injustices that prevail. People who do good things, you know, will be oppressed and overpowered by those who do evil. So somebody, an authority must be there in place to restrain, you know, these evil doers, because of, with the church's ministry deals with the heart and the attitude of the people. I mean, in the sense of our ministry, you know, to the body, to the saved ones, our local assemblies and so on. Yeah, by the church I'm referring to that setting. But now, once the scope goes outside, you will learn also in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says from verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter 1, from verse number 8, I'm going to read verse number 8 and 9, but it will end there in verse number 11. But let me read verse 8 and 9. It says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners. You see, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, you see, murderers are there, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, and we read it, you know, as it continues until verse number 11. So, but as a principle, the law is an instrument that government is using to deal with evildoers. And we are told that now, when the law is used lawfully, meaning if the law restrains evildoers, it's been used lawfully and it's not made for the righteous person. The Bible says we are saved. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Right.
And because why is it not made for the righteous? Because God said in his word that I will write my laws in their hearts, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, and I will pour my spirit, you know, in them and cause them to walk in my ways. You know, the law of God, the fear of God is already there in the heart of the righteous. So by using the law, their conscience is saying, hey, happy Wahutsuavian, you are stealing. That's a bad thing to do. Hey, now you can't kill people. You can't do this. You know, there's that conscience. But a person who doesn't have the life of God in them, doesn't have that conscience, and then worse, if they don't even believe in God. You say, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in the word of God. So you live in a community where other people are righteous, like as you've quoted earlier about Lot. You know, he's a righteous and the family, and he's surrounded by unrighteous people. And in their case, it was worse, because what was popular around that land, its lawlessness was, you know, prevailing. Meaning even that system of government that was prevailing then was one that condones lawlessness. Although an institution of government is what God brings, but people who occupy that system of government may not serve the purposes of God. But when we are clear what the purpose of God for government is, we know then how to differentiate, to say, but this time, whether they are doing what God has ordained them to do or whether they are not. We are not just automatically saying, oh, because God has put government in place, therefore everything that government does is correct. Mm-hmm. God is specific that, yes, I've established the institution, but the occupants of that institution mm-hmm. must make sure that they discharge this kind of work. Remember, you know, Israel at one point in the book of Samuel chapter 8, mm-hmm. where now there was lawlessness. The sons of Samuel, you know, were helping people, abusing things. They became wayward, and the nation cried to Samuel to say, hey, no, we need a king. Meaning a king is a political head or a political system. And so that the king will help us, meaning run a government so much so that, you know, this injustice can be dealt with. Then in response to that request, then God gave them Saul as king. But even though Saul was appointed, you know, by God using Prophet Samuel to give the people the king, to ordain that king, to say, here's the king that you've requested from the Lord. Even though it was the Lord who provided the king. But there came a time, you know, with Saul not following the ways of God of running government. Therefore, God had to deal with it. Send a prophet to say, king, you are not doing things as God instructed you to
do. Just hold it right there. And then I'm coming back to you just now.
No hassles, no frills. It's just sounds full of life on 657 AM.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Zibanda kanye nathi ekuguquleni impilo zabantu ilizwe liphela apha ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
And that is Touching Worship featuring Pastor Mandla Chawani. And the title of the song is We Give You All the Praise. 26 minutes, it is just after 10. You're listening to Just For You with you up until 11 o'clock. I am Sibongile Mofokeng. And at 11 o'clock, we say hello to Perspective with Germany Yanni Belser. But right now, I am with Pastor Lucas Nkosi, and we are looking at God's purpose for government. And yes, we find it a bit hard, sometimes to remember that he has a purpose about that. A family member writes, Meg Grace says, Hi, Sibongile and Muruti, thank you so much. I always say, hold our tongues when we are talking about government, because we might be wrong. They have been chosen by God. Eish, Murut, hold our tongues. Meg Gracie, thank you so much. And Henny, hello to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Hold our tongues, Murut. I'm just thinking, you are talking about the sons of Samuel also, and that the nation ended up saying we need government, and still Saul had issues. And I think we as Christians most of the times look at the issues and forget God's purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. And sometimes there's as well confusion.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that, okay, but how is it God?
Yeah.
I mean, Saul, it was God's idea to appoint Saul. But just because God has appointed somebody to do something, it doesn't mean whatever that they will do is endorsed by God.
Mm.
Yes, God gives them instruction. That's why I think in the book of Deuteronomy, there's an instruction there about kings, you know, where God is saying, you know, is giving an instruction through Moses about a king, you know, or a political head of government, what must happen. Because God doesn't just appoint and leave a person to their own, you know, will and so on. And there's instruction as well to those that God appoint in government. In Deuteronomy 17, it says, when you come to the land which the Lord is giving you and possess it, dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set a king. But there's a verse there. Now there are verses that speaks of greed, you know, that that king or a political head, you know, a head of government must guard against greed. You see, must guard.
So
you
there
know,
are laws or there are rules or there are commands.
Yeah,
that
as
govern,
well as morality.
Yes, that know, governs. You know, okay.
The morality. But yes, verse 18 of chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. Yes, it spoke to greed. It spoke to morality of that person in government. But here's an interesting one in verse number 18 says, also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of the of his kingdom, meaning the government, he shall write for himself a copy of this law, meaning the law of God, in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. Meaning he shall go to the leaders, you know, who follow the ways of God, your pastors, your leaders, you know, that God has put, spiritual leaders, look for a copy of the laws of God. Copy it for himself, because back in those days they were writing in scrolls.
Yes.
And it's so interesting that the Bible doesn't say the priest would take this thing to him. It says he must come to the priests. Yeah, and then copy for himself, meaning during those days they would used to write for himself that copy. And then after getting a copy, then make sure that he reads it. In verse number 90, it says, it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God.
So,
meaning, if he does not study the word of God, he won't fear God.
So,
and be careful to observe all the ways of this law and these statutes, the laws of God, meaning the principles of God on how to govern.
So,
they
now
are found in the word of God.
So now, Muruti, you would find us asking, does God still do that now? Does he still does he still have purpose when things are happening whatever way in different countries? There are different governments and things are just happening, which sometimes are really scary. And the question would be, but now, is God still in it even now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, there's nothing new, as in Ecclesiastes, where King Solomon writes that there's nothing new under the sun, especially where human behavior is concerned. You know, there's nothing new. What can be different is just, you know, advancement of technology. But in terms of human behavior, you'll be shocked sometimes when you read certain books in the Bible and you are like, Evan, it looked like the days that we are living in. Why? Because we are talking about human beings here and human beings doing what they do. Hence, even in this way, God was saying to them, if you are to occupy that office of government, have a copy of the laws of God, because the word of God will teach you to fear God, which is key. Okay. Once people don't fear God, there's no way they'll run the systems of God, you know, in a lawful way, in a way that God intended them to do. And when they happen, even governments, you spoke to something about governments, you know, that, you know, things are happening in governments now. There's lawlessness. The problem is not on God's side. God has set an institution. He has put people to occupy those institutions. It's the behavior of the people in those institutions. We've seen it in the life of Saul. He receives an instruction, even advised by a prophet, to say, hey man, do this thing. And he decides to do things his way. You remember as well, I think, in the life of Solomon. Solomon started well, but towards the end, he started doing things his way. And God passed the judgment, but he said, for the sake of David, this judgment will not get into effect during his reign. But during the son, I remember the elders, the son came into office and said, guys, what should I do? He did a consultation. Not the new thing to consult, to say, hey, I'm occupying office. What is the feel of the people, you know, about, you know, how you want to be governed and so on? It says the king went to the elders. The elder says, if as a king you become a servant to the people will serve you gladly so.
Sure.
Then he moved from the elders, went to his friends, his peers. Bariele, ukaba lema. No, don't leave them, you know, don't spoil them, you know, be hard on the people and so on. Show them who's boss, who's in charge, who's king here. He took the advice of his peers, his friends, and the next thing, the judgment of God kicked in.
Sure.
He lost 10 tribes.
Sure.
Because of that judgment and so forth, because of behavior, you know. That's why then we find, and then there's corruption, there's disturbance, a lot is happening in governments, not because of God. And it's, here's an interesting one in the book of James, you know, where it speaks of wars. We see wars everywhere, and we're wondering, where do they come from? The book of James chapter 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? You see, yeah, it was written to the church, but the principle still applies to everybody because we are dealing with human beings. It's, then it locates, do they not come from your desires for pleasure, that war in your members? Verse 2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet, cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. So it's a fight against resources. When governments fight, when people fight, it has to do with resources or the economic and so on. You see, these are instructions from the word of God to say, hey, if we lack something, let's ask it from the Lord. You know, let's not just lust after things, fight one another, and so on. So that's why in the equation of things, I normally say, even in governments, you know, regarding governments, that, you know, the preachers, you know, play also an important role, because the preacher speaks to the heart of the people. And these people occupy offices of government. And when they occupy office of government, then God established government so that the one in government can restrain those who don't fear God. But you need a person who fears God
in
to
there.
Fully fulfill
yes.
the purpose of God. Yeah, but some start well. Along the way, they leave God. They start doing their things.
So,
that's why we have confusion.
Hence,
now we need to pray.
Yeah, that's pray that's where the question
for government.
That's where the question comes, Vel. Because I'm like, so do we still pray for them, or what do we say? Because I think when things do happen, we're asking ourselves questions. So we're going back to the Lord and say, Father, you know your purpose, but this is what we see, and we hand it over to the Lord.
Yeah, we go back to the Lord. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse number 1 to 4, it says we should pray for everybody. yeah, and those in, and those in government. Leadership. And it gives us a reason why we should pray. It says so that we can have a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness.
Yes.
And it says this pleases God, who wants people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why an environment of peaceful and quiet life is important? Because of it's an environment that is good, so that those who preach the gospel can preach the gospel. Imagine preaching the gospel in a war-torn place.
Hostile.
Who will be paying attention to listen and so forth?
Yeah.
You know, because they'll be minding, hey, a bomb is flying, and you are like, so there's disturbance. So that's why we need to pray for peace and quietness in governments. But here's another thing that we must bear in mind. Since it is God who has appointed, who appointed government and the institution of government, since it was God who appointed Saul, when Saul did not do the will of God, God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to appoint another. You know, because Saul did not listen to, you know, and follow the purpose of God, started to do his thing. So God ordered a replacement to say, we are replacing, because you are not listening to me, we are moving you away. I'm moving you away. I'm going to get a man after my heart who will do his things. And you see in the government of David, things are different. Now and then he will consult God. Am I doing the right thing? Even when he misses the way, he will still have that consciousness to say, but God, what is happening? And then in the book of Daniel chapter 2, the Bible, then Daniel is speaking something in chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. It says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the Lord God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Inasmuch as he's the one who's ordained government and has provided government, then people occupy those offices of government. When they don't serve his purposes, he removes them. So it means even in our prayers, you know, we go back to the one who has ordained the authority to say, but Lord, we are clear of your purpose, that your will says you have set government for good and the law must be applied lawfully. Now, the ones who are occupying office are not following your purpose. They are not following your will. Your word here says, now, it's you who appoints them. It's you who removes. If there's a need to remove, remove them so that your purpose can prevail. Because when we pray according to the will of God. And so, what is the will of God? Is the word of God. Is going back to the word of God and check what is it that God intends. And in this case, about government. When a government does not serve God, it should either repent, because there's a room for repentance. We've seen it in the life of Saul, to repent from his ways. But when Saul became stubborn, there came a point where even God said to Samuel, do not pray for Saul any longer, because I found a better person, you know, to occupy that office. So if governments do not repent and follow the ways of God, and they are not aligned with the fear of God, they don't follow the prescripts of God, and we pray, you know, as the church of God, you know, even prayer, we go back to the one who appointed to say, Lord, remove whoever is on your way, you know, to fulfill your way, because government belongs to you. So if they are not serving your purpose, remove them, and God will remove them. We'll answer prayer and remove.
All right. Muruti, let's take one last break and then come back to sum it up with you. And I'm just thinking, yo, Lord, may we not lose focus, because sometimes we do lose focus when we are looking at what's happening out there, and we lose focus of why we have also been called to pray for government.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Are you starting a business or taking it to the next level? Then it's time to pitch your business. After an exceptional Pitch Your Business competition in 2024, we're doing it again. Together, IM Youth, Radio Pulpit, the Northwest University's Beehive Enterprise Development Center, and TBN in Africa are hosting the third Pitch Your Business competition. Receive vital business training online. Total marketing exposure to the value of 1 million rand is up for grabs, as well as in-depth mentorship by the university. To register, complete the registration form on imyouth.co.za or radiopulpit.co.za. Register now. Registration closes on the 31st of May 2025 at midnight. T's and C's apply.
Take Radio Pulpit wherever you go. Listen live on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts. Radio Pulpit, your Christian alternative at your fingertips.
And that is Lionel Richie, Love, Oh Love. We are sitting on 11 minutes, just before 11. And do remember that at 11, it's the news with Vaynette Rousseau. And after the news, you have Perspective with Germany, Yanni Belsa. And after that, at 12 you have Lukom Kwedi Puti on Heart to Heart with you, Tot Drier. And it is just for you right now. I'm not alone. I am Sibongile Mofokeng, and I'm not alone. I'm with Pastor Lucas Nkosi talking about God's purpose for government. And yeah, my family, we are just about to wrap it up. Time really flies. You know, I don't like time sometimes when it comes to some of these topics. I'm like, oh, matter time, couldn't you wait? But God is a God of time, and He's always faithful. Let me see if this one is for us. Mom Dorothy, let's hear.
Hello, Sisi Sibongile, kunjani? Ngiyaphila, ngiyabulisa nomfundisi. Ngempela simele ukukhuleka singadangali. Lithizwe umthandazo wenzelwe bonke abantu ukuba sibanxusele nabasemagunyeni. Kodwa angizwanga iscripture, Nkosi yami, lesacede ukukhuluma ngaso. Ubaba, ngicela scripture referrals in order so that we can pray according to God's will. Ngiyabonga kakhulu.
All righty then. Thank you, Mom Dorothy. Mom Dorothy is still encouraging us to pray, reminding us that the Word of God encourages us to pray for those that are in leadership in government as well. And Pastor Lucas Nkosi spoke on the book of Daniel 6, 1 to 10. Which one again? Romans 13, 1 to 7, 1 Peter 2, 13 to 16. But I think Mom is looking for the one, yeah, Daniel 6, 1 to 10. There's also another one, the scripture of 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, that encourages us to pray. Muruti, there's sometimes when we are talking about people who are appointed by God. I'm asking myself if Saul knew that he was appointed by God. David knew it without any doubt that God has appointed me. And that's why he walked in that light. But those that we are talking about, I'm even wondering if they even know that they've been appointed by God. And somebody would say, because they do not know, so why should we pray for them? Or should we pray for them that God should open their eyes and realize why they are there and God's purpose for them in that space?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, because when you're dealing with God, you know, you remember that time when they looked for a king and Samuel prayed to say, Lord, your people need a king.
Yeah.
And even Samuel was offended to say, hey, man, jiggy jiggy, you want a king. Wasn't God enough to you?
Mm.
And he took the matter to God. And God said, hey, give them a king because they are demanding one.
Mm.
Yeah, then Samuel had to give the message back. And God sent, you know, Samuel to look for Saul. And remember, during that time, Saul was just looking for donkeys. And then afterwards, Kanti now the matter was about him meeting, you know, Samuel, so that then Samuel can, you know, anoint him as king of Israel. Then Samuel brought him to the people to say, "You ask for a king. Here is God's, response to the prayer about the king. Here is Saul." And he had his issues, his esteem issues. He was still hiding somewhere in the corner there. And some of that, it's your moment, occupy the office, So it's more of the condition of the heart.
Yeah.
Yes, God can appoint people. And with God's appointment, it's so funny because sometimes God will appoint unlikely people. I remember reading somewhere in the book of Jeremiah where God is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, that now is the one who's chosen Nebuchadnezzar. And you're like, Nebuchadnezzar, God? So it's, this earth belongs to God. God does as he pleases. And there are principles of governance that he has in place for those who occupy office. And sometimes God's choice might not be our choice. Sometimes even the order of people, at a particular time might be God's choice. But still, even if, however, in terms of the systems of how those people are being appointed to legitimize them in office and so on. But once they occupy the office, God expects them to follow his ways, because the big boss here ultimately is God, is the owner of this property called earth and everything that is on earth. If we occupy government, we have to do things God's way. But if we don't follow his ways, like we learn from also Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, where it says he's the one, he changes the times and the seasons.
Yeah.
He's the one who removes kings and he raises up kings, meaning he can raise a king. And as well as I think even Elijah, he was called to appoint two kings and a prophet. It's God.
Alrighty then. Sure, Muruti, I wish we had more time. I think you owe us to come back and wrap it up nicely and even take time to pray. I think if Muruti is available next week, we should just do that. Wrap it up nicely and even pray for those in leadership. May the Lord keep keeping you, Muruti. It is time up. I told you I don't like time right now. But yeah, can we promise that we will come back? We'll check when soonest can we come and just wrap it up with you, Muruti?
Amen.
All righty then.
Yeah.
May God awesomely keep you, Muruti. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Sis Bongile and Radio Pulpit family.
Wow. God is talking to us, my family, through Pastor Lucas Nkosi. Let's go back and remember God's purpose for government and also remember our responsibility to pray for them. He is Lucas Nkosi on all social media platforms. Lucas Nkosi. And you can send him a WhatsApp to 078-910-2593. Let me say it for the last time. 078-910-2593. I'm signing out. Next up is Germany Johan Els on something. Germany Yanni Pelsa on Perspective. Do you enjoy Perspective? Val, I see you. And you have enjoyed that song. May God awesomely bless you. Yes. And you say, yes, we need to pray for all the people in the world for peace. Let's do exactly that. Love you. Have a blessed day. And do enjoy the rest of our Radio Pulpit shows.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It is 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
For 44 years, Radio Pulpit has been a voice of hope, faith and love in homes across South Africa. This August, as we celebrate our birthday, we want to share that same hope with those who need it most. There are precious children in our communities who lack even the most basic essentials. Our birthday wish? To bless them with love in the form of school stationery, toiletries and other essentials. We invite you to be part of this beautiful act of giving. Drop off your donations at our offices in Kilner Park, Pretoria. If you're not sure what to bring, visit radiopulpit.co.za for the full wish lists. These heartfelt gifts will be given to the children at homes such as Jacaranda, Louis Borta, and Morista. Let's make our 44th birthday a celebration they'll never forget, because every child deserves to feel loved. Radio Pulpit, 44 years of hope, sharing it forward.
Umkhuleko olungileyo unamandla. Qhubeka ukhulekele iRadio Pulpit nomsebenzi esiwenzayo kuningizimu Afrika nomhlaba wonke.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.